God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Dear Christian friends, dear confirmants, just as a little bit of a reminder, last weekend we celebrated in Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. On Good Friday, we remember the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when he completes God's plan of salvation for the world. Saturday, with the Easter Vigil, we were reviewing many of the promises made in the Old Testament, promises fulfilled through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and last Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. Dear confirmands, you should remember, that when I teach in junior high confirmation class, we get to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. That part talks about how Jesus suffered and died for the forgiveness of sins, and that sin, death, and the devil are defeated. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, done, deal completed, right? Amen. It is right. Well, not quite. Yes, Jesus did die. And when he died on the cross, he merited forgiveness of sins for us. And yes, he did defeat sin, death, and the devil. Then where's the problem? The problem is we still live in a world that is plagued with sin. Our bodies are also plagued with sin. Is it a done deal? The answer is yes and not yet. While Good Friday did accomplish all this, until Jesus comes again and gives us a spiritual glorified body without sin, until he comes again and creates a new creation, a new heavens and a new earth, we still live in this body and world affected by sin. It's done, yes, and not yet. So in the midst of this, it really shouldn't surprise us too much that our gospel reading has the account of Thomas, one of the 12 disciples who did not really believe and trust the Mary's message from the tomb that he has risen, or the disciples' message, we have seen the Lord. Because of this, Thomas, some people had said, doubted. Actually, the Greek word here doesn't necessarily use the word doubt, but rather uses the word unbelief. Either way, he just doesn't get it. Thomas, maybe he's feeling a little left out because he wasn't there when Jesus showed up on the scene with the disciples before. Or maybe he was just expressing maybe a little bit of attitude. I guess maybe adults can have attitude, not just junior hires, right? Well, regardless, he makes now this bold rejection of the faith. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, unless if I see the flesh and blood of Jesus, I am not going to believe. Talk about attitude. But Thomas still hangs in there. Thomas is seeking proof. Proof in the correct direction. What does he want? He wants to see Jesus. He wants to see the flesh and blood of Jesus. To my confirmands here, today is the day you're going to say this is your faith. You also have been touched by God through your baptism. That gives you grace. Amen. You have endured my instruction in Luther's Small Catechism. That does not give you grace. Maybe a little bit of wisdom, but not grace. So you have this wisdom. Now what are you going to do with it? Just like the hymn we just got through singing, the strife is over, the battle's done. Done, yeah, we're done with Pastor Ball's instructions, right? We're getting confirmed. Done, yes, and not yet. there's still another battle. And if you thought my instructions through Luther's Small Catechism were bad, wait until you see this battle. It's worse. From Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, St. Paul reminds us, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Yes, we're talking about sin, death, and the devil. Yes, Christ defeated them. But as Thomas well knows, according to our text, we still need to struggle and wrestle with them, even today. Do sometimes we doubt? Yes. Do sometimes we just don't want to believe? Yes. Thomas was also called by God, and like Peter and the rest of the apostles, we all struggle. All humans struggle and wrestle against the darkness, against sin, and against the devil. Now that you too are going to be confirmed, you are stating you are now going to take responsibility in this struggle. Yes, there will be a struggle. Like Thomas, there might be times where you will be struggling with various truths of Scripture. There might be times where you may fall away. But in the midst of that, you need to remember Thomas. Why? Thomas, in the midst of his struggle, Thomas still gathered with the disciples. Thomas did not just give up and walk away. He could have said, you know, after these last 3 years of being with Jesus, it came to nothing. I'm going to go start a new career. I'm going to go someplace else and forget this Christian thing. No, Thomas didn't give up. He wanted to see the flesh and blood of Jesus. So here's the good and the bad in our text. There is a struggle, and you can fall away from the faith. Just ask Thomas. There are some Christians who would like to believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. However, we need to look at Thomas. He was called by Jesus to follow him. He trusted the disciples. He was with them for 3 years. He should have believed Mary. He didn't. He disbelieved. Thomas had a hard time trusting what the others said. Now here is the good news. And if you're taking sermon summary notes, this is the gospel part, okay? This is the part that God does the work. And here's the good news. The good news is that the Holy Spirit keeps you in the faith, even in the midst of this struggle. You see, there's one part here of our text that I really would love if Thomas would have shared, but he didn't. And it goes like this. How was the Holy Spirit still tugging at his heart to say, oh, by the way, let's be connected to these guys? The Lord came to them. Even though I don't believe it, but let's still be there. He could have walked away and he didn't. I would have loved to have seen that type of journaling or discussion of Thomas. Unfortunately, I wasn't around at the time to tell Thomas to put these down, that future generations would really love it. But that's how the Holy Spirit does indeed work. He constantly is tugging at us. And when we feel that tug, we need to remember what Thomas did. He stayed connected to the disciples. And what happened? Jesus arrives. So wherever we are, if we're in the midst of great struggles and temptations and wrestlings, we need to remember what Thomas did. Hang out with the guys who are hanging out with Jesus. Wherever God's word is proclaimed and wherever his sacraments are administered, in the midst of that word and sacraments, there is Jesus. Now, to be fair, it's not quite the same way of what happened with Thomas. But it's also in a very special way, in which God touches us directly in the ear with his words, in the mouth with bread and wine. Jesus touches us. Thomas wanted to see Jesus in flesh and blood, and he did. You want to see Jesus in flesh and blood? You are. We come, we gather. The doors are not locked. Okay? Just to show the little difference between us and the disciples. And here is Jesus. He comes in his word, in his sacraments, and he comes to bring peace. He comes to settle the drifting soul. He comes in our midst, God's word, that we can hear with our ears, receive Christ in his flesh and blood, with that bread and wine in our mouths, for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of our faith. Rather than call him Doubting Thomas, a person whose behaviors we should probably try to avoid, what if we call him Confessing Thomas? Because something happened after he was touched by God. He was the only disciple in the room to make a bold confession of faith. He said, "My Lord and my God." A bold confession. He wasn't just showing up. He's saying, "This is my faith. You are my Savior." And shouldn't we all come to that same point in our faith journey? The way our text ends shows the importance of what's really important about it. Was it really important that Thomas got the aha experience? That God touched him? Well, that's important, but notice what Jesus says to him. Verse 29, "You have believed because you have seen me." Or, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Notice, it's not about the spectacular aha, Thomas gets it. If this was a Hollywood movie, we'd be ending it right now. But it's not. This is about life. Your life and your life eternally. So today, we have the opportunity to send a couple confirmands on their journey in life, a journey toward life eternal. With the instruction of our Lord, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit for their path. A path begun by Christ and continued to be guided by that Spirit to guide and to keep you in the faith. Yes, you are done with your lessons in the small catechism, but not yet. You will be continuing to learn more about the promises of God. And you need to continue to learn more about the promises of God, because we still live in this world affected by sin. We still struggle with our own flesh and blood, the sin, the darkness, the temptations. But you are not alone. You have a Christian community here at Trinity who's there to encourage and nurture you. And best of all, you have God's word and sacrament. Jesus coming to you in flesh and blood, just like he did with Thomas, so that you also may say the same confession, "My Lord and my God." In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.